All right, Leviticus 16, verse 23. Now, this is the Day of Atonement. The high priest is a picture of Christ. He's gone in. He's offered the offerings. He's offered the sin offering. And he's come forth and he's let go the scapegoat. He's been taken by a fit man into the wilderness and let go. And now there's a couple of more things that we're told here that took place on the Day of Atonement. Verse 23, "And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation and shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place and shall leave them there when our Lord Jesus finished his earthly ministry." He had those fleshly garment on, as this priest had the linen garment on. Now he's raised in glorified flesh. He's raised a glorified man, God and man. And he has on his royal high priestly garments. "And he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place and put on his garments and come forth and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people and make an atonement for himself and for the people. And the fat of the sin offering shall he burn upon the altar." Now the burnt offering was offered on other days in addition to this Day of Atonement. But here, as it was on those other days, the high priest offering the burnt offering typifies Christ Jesus. And the burnt offering typifies Christ Jesus. God requires of his people absolutely perfect obedience, perfect faithfulness, perfect thankfulness, perfect in giving all glory to God. Christ Jesus is that offering. He's everything we're not. He's the perfect believer. Christ is. And Scripture says, through the eternal Spirit, he offered himself without spot to God. All we are is spots. All we are in ourselves is spots. And God won't receive us. And the fat of this sin offering that was offered here along with this, you know, fat, when it's burned, it makes a sweet smell. Very sweet smell. And the Scripture says of him, you see here that this was an offering for the high priest, that man, and for the people. And this offering that Christ offered on behalf of his people, as the perfect, faithful, and holy believer, is as important as him being the sin offering and making atonement. It's got to be perfect in every regard. And the people here come with this lamb, showing that when we come to God, we come one way. We come, our burnt offering is the lamb. We come with the lamb God has commanded us to come with. And turn over to Ephesians 5. We'll look at this and we'll come back just to Leviticus. Ephesians 5. Verse 1. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." That's how Christ followed God, as a dear child. As a dear child. He's the firstborn among many brethren. He's the dearest of the children of God. "And walk in love." That's how Christ walked. Perfection. Perfect. This burnt offering that offered himself without spot to God. He says, "And do it as Christ also hath loved us." He did this toward God and toward his brethren. He did it in love to God and love to his brethren. That's what we're being told here. "And hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. God accepts His people in this sweet smelling savor that Christ offered to God. That's when we come by faith in the Lamb, offering to God the very best we have to offer. And the very best we have to offer God is the offering He's pleased with. It's His Son. His Son. And He teaches us by His example how to walk, how to live in this world, loving God and loving our brethren, laying down our lives for one another as Christ laid down His life for His people, for us. And then the second thing we see back in our text, and both of these are burnings. These are the last two things we're looking at here are two burnings. These are two burnings. This is the second burning. Leviticus 16:27. And the bullock for the sin offering, and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall one carry forth without the camp. And they shall burn in the fire their skins and their flesh and their dung. Now turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. We have the exposition of this. We have the Hebrew writer tells us what this is about. Verse 11. He says, well, let's begin in verse 9. Let's begin in verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's who we're talking about. That's who we've seen in all these sacrifices, all these offerings. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We need an unchanging, unchangeable God whose grace does not change. That's what we need. And He says, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, different, diverse, and strange teachings. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Grace. That's what is happening as this gospel is preached. The heart is established with grace. It's established when we hear it. He settles us by His grace. And the more we hear it, it's repeated and repeated and repeated, and the more He establishes us by His grace. That's why He sent this gospel, that you be no more tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but you be anchored in the anchor within the veil, established. It's good that the heart be established with grace, not with meats. That's what this world is preaching. How to be established by what you do or don't do. How you act and don't act. What you say and don't say. How you dress and don't dress. It's all about you. You won't ever be established if you keep looking at you. You won't ever be established, and I won't either, if we're trying to come to God by something we've done and try to find some establishment, some ground and some grounding. We won't find it in ourselves. Not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. They're actually no profit. It's a hurtful thing. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. The Hebrews were being turned back to that tabernacle, that earthy tabernacle. They were being turned back to those earthly sacrifices. They were being turned back to that form, that which was just the shadow and the means. We saw last week that the Lord said in Isaiah, He said, when I come and when I do this work, He said, through the Spirit of God, you're going to let go of your graven images of silver and gold. And we've looked at this point. We think of those graven images of silver and gold as some graven images that God never commanded them to make. Well, there was a lot of silver and gold images that God commanded them to make as a means to picture Christ to come. And they worshiped the means and made an idol of the means rather than bowing to Christ. And he said, but when he introduces himself in your heart and you meet him, you're going to turn. He said, when I send you pastors that'll feed you with knowledge and understanding, you'll no more say the Ark of the Covenant. You'll no more look at that, at the tabernacle, at the Ark, at those sacrifices, at any of those things. You'll behold the substance then, and you'll let go of your idols. And men in our day are worshiping the means, worshiping the church, worshiping their faith, worshiping prayer meetings, worshiping all the means that God's given that believers use. But they're worshiping those things, praising those things, speaking of those things, promoting those things, attracting with those things. It's good that the heart be established by grace. By grace. We have an altar. Christ is our altar, whereof they have no right to eat which serve this earthy tabernacle. For the bodies, now listen to this, the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. That's what we just saw in Leviticus. That's where they were burned, without that camp, away from that camp, away from the people, outside of that camp. What's the application? Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. This is how you sanctify. He does it with his own blood. That he, with his own blood, suffered where? Without the gate. He was a reproach. When he came, fellas that were folks that was worshiping the idols, the means, the Ark of the Covenant, worshiping the tabernacle, worshiping the temple, worshiping that earthly city, Jerusalem, all of which pictured heavenly spiritual things. Christ our Lord, heavenly Jerusalem, heavenly Mount Zion, His church, His people. All. When He came, He was a reproach of men, despised by men, that said, we don't want you. Look what we got. We don't need Christ. We got all this. And they were worshiping those things and wasn't worshiping Him. And He went without the camp. He was burned, hung on a tree, crucified, with no one to help outside of that camp. Now here's what He says. Let us go forth therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. It's not going to be popular. You're not going to be received. We're not going to be received by this world. This religious world are not going to receive the believer. And the more people see Christ in you, just like what we saw with Paul Thursday night. He's at Jerusalem, or at Caesarea, bound. And he told about how Christ, he was under that authority, he was under that fleshly, in that fleshly camp. He was going by the authority of the chief priests, and he was giving his voice to the Roman governors, and he was giving his voice to have the saints stoned to death. He was doing all those things. But Christ met him on the road to Damascus and brought him down and taught him and made him a minister unto God. Made him the servant of God, the servant of Christ, and sent him forth with this gospel. And the first thing the Lord told him was, I'm going to deliver you. I'll have to deliver you from the very people I'm sending you to preach. Why? Paul said, for these causes, they want to kill me. Because I'm not in that camp anymore. I'm out of it. And I'm declaring who the true and living God is. I'm declaring the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. And for these causes, they want to kill me, Paul said. But the Lord says, go without the camp and bear His reproach. Let's see another verse on this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14. This is exactly what Paul was saying to the Hebrews. They were trying to be enticed to come back into that lewdness, into that fornication, into that adultery, into that murder of going back into the temple worship, back into offering sacrifices, back into serving under all these strange and various doctrines of men. And that's adultery. That's murder. It's unlawful. And Paul says here to the Corinthians, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you're the temple of the living God. And that other is idolatry." It's idolatry. "As God hath said, I will dwell in them." These are promises. These are the precious promises of the gospel. God's gospel declares to us this: you go without the camp. You go without the camp and bear the reproach of Christ. Doesn't matter. The Lord says to His people just what He said to Paul: "I will deliver you, Paul, in the face of these enemies, because I've made you a witness unto me. I'll deliver you from them. They won't harm you. They won't harm you." Watch. He says, "God hath said," verse 16, "I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." If God dwells in you, you're not going to be able to commune with falsehood anymore. You're not going to be able to commune with darkness anymore. You're not going to have concord with Belial. He says, "And I'll be their God, and they shall be my people." This is a fact. It's a fact. This is how it happened. This is how we're separated. "Wherefore," Paul says, "come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean, and I'll receive you, and I'll be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore, brethren, these promises." We got these promises of God. We believe Him or we don't. One of the two. Believe His word or we don't. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit." What did He just say? Come out from among them. Go without the camp. Go to Christ. Go unto Christ without the camp. Just as Christ went without the camp. Bear His reproach. "Perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Not perfecting holiness because you fear men and you're trying to come to some holiness that men are telling you about, and you fear men, so you bow to men. But this is holiness, being separate by the grace of God, by the blood of Christ, by faith that is in me, Christ said, in the fear of God. Because you believe Him. You see who He is. You see what He's able to do. What He has done, what He is doing, what He's able to do. And you go without the camp and you say, "This is my camp now. I'm with Him. I'm with Him." All right, let's go back to Leviticus and we'll look at the last thing. The last thing. Verse 29. I said to you before that they were all sitting there and they, on this Day of Atonement, they were waiting to see if God would accept them. That's what salvation is. God accepting whom He will. And when they came out and it was declared to them He had accepted them, they received the good news. That's what they did. They didn't do anything. They received the good news. Now this is what He says that will surely happen in the season of His love, when He makes you to behold that in Christ God has accepted you. This is what will happen. "This shall be a statute forever unto you." You know what a statute that it's a, it can't be moved. It's final. It's final. And when you behold, by God's grace, you've been accepted of God in Christ, it's final. It's done forever. This is the gospel to you forever. "In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you." Even here, God's declaring He has an elect people, not only among the Israelites, but also among the Gentiles. "Whether it's in your own country or a stranger that's with you, For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls by statute forever. This is the first thing that's going to happen. Ye shall afflict your souls and do no work at all. It's the first thing that's going to happen. Repentance and faith. When the conscience is purged from dead works to serve the living God, you're going to stop. Your motives are different now. You're not coming in dead works to be accepted. You repent, your soul's afflicted, and you do no work at all. You rest in Him. Here's the next thing, verse 30. Here's why you do it. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. Everything we've seen in these offerings, that high priest and these offerings, declares the acceptance of his people, that it is complete, accomplished by what God did for his people, what he did. Why is Christ the believer's wisdom? Isaiah said, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. He's our wisdom. Why is Christ the believer's righteousness? God hath made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He's our sanctification. Both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one. He went without the camp and bore the reproach and sanctified his people by his own blood. Christ is the full redemption of his people. We are bought with a price. The price of his precious blood. And we're not our own anymore. We're his now. Completely his. And it says here in verse 31, and Christ, Jesus, shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you forever. Hebrews 4:9 says, there remaineth a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, into Christ's rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. You know when God, you know what's pictured on that seventh day when God rested? What's pictured there is him who first trusted Christ. He gave the work into the hands of his Son, and he rested in his Son to accomplish the work of salvation for his people. And you know what happens when he comes forth and he announces in your heart this solid declaration of victory accomplished, that atonement has been made. He makes you to enter into his rest and rest from all your works. You rest right where God's been resting from the foundation of the world. That's right. Let's look at this together. Hebrews 4:9. I don't want to just quote this. I want you to see it. Hebrews 4, verse 9. Look at verse 10. He that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. As God did from his. The works were finished from the foundation of the world. Look back at verse 3. As I have sworn in my wrath that they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. You rest as God did from his. Now, you want to work? You want to be established? You want to labor? This is what he said. Come to God with the offering God's well pleased with. Go without the camp. Bear his reproach. Be separated from... You want to be sanctified? Be cleansed? Perfect holiness? Trust Christ alone. Believe on him alone and come out and don't touch the unclean. Don't be apart with them anymore. Here's what he says. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. You sure we're talking about faith here, Clay? Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Those who wouldn't go into Canaan, he's talking about. There's an example. They came to Canaan. They came to the rest. And they wouldn't go in. They saw it just like God said it would be. And they came back and said, but the men are too mighty for us. They feared men instead of fearing God. God said, I'll protect you. I'll be a father to you. They came back and they feared men more than they feared God. And they fell in the wilderness. God said, you wouldn't believe me and enter in? You can't. You can't. And they died in the wilderness. Labor to enter into Christ. Oh, he's where you're going to be established with grace. You can but ask questions about that will do nothing but eat like gangrene. Engender to more bondage is all it'll do. Seek His face. Seek, better yet, seek His feet. Seek His feet. And you'll be established. Be established. I pray God will grant us repentance from working for acceptance with God and cause us to rest perpetually, eternally, in this Sabbath of rest, Christ Jesus the Lord, through faith in Him. Atonement has been made. The work is finished. Amen.